known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the peace of God will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, we will have some remembrances from the family.
It's great to see everybody here. I'm Chuck, and I think I know everybody, so that's wonderful. And if I didn't know you, I knew your grandparents or your parents, and it's like a great family to have y'all here. Dad passed away in 2021, and I had a chance to talk to everybody then, and to a certain degree, talking today is easy because Mom filled out the other half of the story in so many ways. I'm going to tell you a few things about her that you might not have known, but I'm going to start with a little foray into history, which will not surprise anybody. She was born in May of 1927. The other two big events of equal importance were that Charles Lindbergh flew the Atlantic, and the last Model T came off the assembly line. They all did that within about 2 weeks of each other. And I used to like to joke with Mom about that as kind of a measure of her age. In some respects, the coincidence with Lindbergh flying the Atlantic is a cosmic joke because Mom hated to fly. She didn't like to think about it. She wouldn't do it. If you talk to her about it, it didn't end up good for you. So we learned not to do it. The only story we ever got out of it is that when she was about 16, she got in a stunt plane with somebody, and he took it up and did loop-de-loops and everything like that. So again, this is a fairly adult crowd here, but any of you with young children, I guess the lesson to be drawn from that is don't take your child to Space World or to Disney World and put them on Space Mountain at the age of four, or they'll be scarred forever. But that was funny to me. The Model T is perhaps a better comparison, although at first blush you wouldn't think there's anything linking them. Model T conjures up images of a jalopy and sort of ages and ages and ages ago. And let's face it, Mom liked style. She liked dressing up. The old joke was the Model T can come in any color you want as long as it's black. And Mom came in all colors. She loved especially the bright ones, and she loved yellow and tan. But all colors would do, and I love seeing people dressed up and in a festive decor today because that's what she would like a lot. I do think there are some similarities between her, though, and the Model T, and I'll tell you three ways in which that was the case. One of them is she was slow. She talked very slowly, as you all know, and one of the great simultaneous joys of life and a challenge was to see her try to get a telephone message onto a telephone messenger, because sometimes she'd need two attempts and sometimes she'd need three. She also initially was a very slow driver, and when Becky and I were in grade school and there wasn't an orthodontist in town, she would drive us up oftentimes once a week to Chattanooga before the interstate, Highway 41, and the first time she did it, it took her an hour and a half to get from Dalton to Chattanooga because she got behind a trailer truck and she wouldn't pass it. So we made Tunnel Hill in 30 minutes. She later got a lot better at that, but I think that kind of tells you what you need to know about her. She had a wonderful sense of humor, and she picked up on wordplay very fast, and she was self-deprecating. She could laugh at herself, which was a wonderful feature. She was not a particularly good joke teller because she talked so slowly that by the time she reached the end, she'd forgotten the punchline. So she'd ask you to help her out, and of course, we're the ones getting the joke, so that didn't always go that well, but she was slow, like the Model T. She also got the job done, which is what the Model T would do. I don't think Bert Watts is here. Bert's my cousin with the most experience in old cars, and he might differ with this, but ultimately the Model T worked pretty well because it was so simple and adaptable. And Mom took on challenges. Oftentimes they scared her, like driving to Chattanooga, but she ultimately would get the job done in beautiful fashion. She cut the driving time to Chattanooga to about 35 minutes pre-interstate. Thank God I didn't know what driving was like then, or that would have been a hair-raising experience, but she rose to the occasion. Her dad was an East Tennessean. He liked to hunt. He had two daughters. He wanted a son that could hunt. Mama learned to substitute, and she probably, most of you don't know this, she was a very good rifle shot. She also was a great punter because in the afternoons when I and my friends would come home and Dad was still at work, she'd take us over to the McCutcheon's backyard and we'd do sports, and I think it was the dancer's kick that she had, but she could send a ball really quite a distance with the punt, and that was a pretty cool thing. I don't think she really liked public speaking that much. She liked public performing, as you all know, but it was either in the dance or the singing. But through really hard work and a heck of a lot of practice, she became a good public speaker and a good reader at church, and she ultimately grew to love those roles. And so I like to see her embrace and conquer each one of her challenges. The third and last similarity that I make with the Model T is the longevity. And again, the Model T had about a 30-year production run. Mama had a 95-year production run. In the course of it, she got to know so many people. And living as long as she did, she saw vast numbers of her friends pass on. She missed them. She would mourn, but she didn't pine over them. Instead, what she would do is conjure up the images of these people again and again and again. We talk about them, you know, in the den, pull out the family album, pull out the larger album. It might have been golf partners. It was bridge club partners. It was cookout partners, going to the lake partners. A lot of these were overlapping sets, and a lot of you all are here from parts of that, but just know that she didn't ever forget people. She had a very bad memory for statistics, but she had a great memory for family and for place, and she could do wonderful, wonderful descriptions. I'll close with something that this almost exclusively Daltonian audience may appreciate. She would describe what heaven was supposed to look like, and she did it really, really well. What I remember it looking like is actually South Hamilton Street. And I think that bespeaks a kind of skill and an optimism and a contentment with where she was that kind of caught the essence of her personality. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Let me echo what Chuck said, thanking you all for being here to honor Mac today. Betty Ann McCauley Thomas Mac was the personification of a true Southern lady in the best sense of that word. She was gracious and warm-hearted. She loved her friends. She was so thoughtful. And she had that soft Southern drawl from East Tennessee. And to that point, I have to tell a little quick story. I came home from school one day. I was about 21. Becky and I had been dating for about a year, and I called her up. I think she was due in about the same day as I was. Mac answered the phone. Well, Mac and Becky sounded just about the same on the telephone. So, being 21 and in love and a little feisty, I said, "Bet you don't know who this is." There's the slightest pause, and she said, "I bet you don't know who this is." Needless to say, my embarrassment quotient went through the roof. She may have been slow with her speech, but there was nothing slow about her generosity, her welcoming spirit. She was 95 and the last of her peers, but her good, strong influence goes on beyond generations back, people 30, 40 years younger than her. So I just have to say, vaya con Dios, Mac, go with God, and you'll be long remembered.
I'm Rob, and I'm so happy to see everyone today and to be able to celebrate with you all the beautiful, strong, and gracious woman that was our Nana. When I was thinking about whether or not I wanted to speak today, whether I could speak today during this week, it became increasingly hard to put into words what she meant to me and to our family. Especially when some of us have been blessed with having her as a grandmother for 50 plus years, or a great-grandmother for 18 or more years, or a mother for 70 or more years. However, I think that it's safe to say that Nana radiated light and grace to everyone that she knew and everyone that she interacted with. Of course, she did love to get dressed up and go out dancing or to host people at her house. But Nana also enjoyed simpler things in life, like watching birds, strolling on the beach, reading, or beating one of her family members in a game of backgammon. She loved to sing, dance, and perform, but she also had a great gift of humility. And she had the ability to be empathetic and supportive out of the spotlight, too. Nana lived her life to the fullest, not just in terms of longevity, but also in her enthusiasm, her classiness and charm, and her love and generosity towards others. May she and Charlie continue the great cosmic dance together now. We are all better people because of them.
Very well said, each one of you. Now we read from Romans, the 8th chapter. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are three principal trees on the church property, two maples giving in memory of others. In the world of trees, Mac was a magnolia, a beauty, shimmering in the light, lovely in her bloom, adding luster to every social occasion. As has been said, she was the ultimate Southern belle, winsome smile, ready laugh. She could say yes in two syllables. She was Ginger Rogers to Charlie's Fred Astaire, and their dance of life was a joy to watch for all of us. And among reserved Presbyterians, her radiance was especially appreciated. She did, as has been said, dance and sing wonderfully. And with the Marcel dancers, she was synchronized. And I think in a way that describes her life. It was all about togetherness, coordination, harmony. The point of the gathering, as her family says, is the gathering, is the being together, is the good time. She loved each of you individually, and whether Polly Pocket Dolls or Extra Bacon represented that, she cherished you each, enjoyed beating you at the game board when necessary, enjoyed your visits to New Smyrna and Rabun. Her home was always a place where you found love and welcome and good humor and legendary hospitality. Family and friendships and creatures, some furry, some feathered, all of those expressed her great sense of caring. And in this moment, we must speak of her faith, which was part of her rhythm in life. She brought joy during each week, and each Sunday, she was here in her seat. Church, her faith, was part of what brought that synchronicity to her life. And she was a willing volunteer here. She taught and advised youth, ushered and greeted, and when we needed a casserole, she was ready. I can remember her distinctive affirmations because in saying, well, yes, she was there whenever the church needed her. I marvel that at 94, she got a new car. And the story is that she sat in the driveway, got out the instruction book to see how this thing works. She was forward-looking to the end because for 94 years, she had practiced God's instruction book about how life works. Every day of her life, until the very end, she was confident in God's love. Jesus loved her as he loves each of you, and she knew that. In Romans, the 14th chapter, Paul writes, "If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." In that assurance, our Mac lived and died and now lives forever. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of all grace, who sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his glorious resurrection opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Grant us the same assurance that Mac had, to know that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come shall separate us from his love. Before you, Father, the faces of the generations rise and pass away. We bless and praise your name for all the servants departed this life in your faith and reverence, and especially for Mac, whom you have taken to be with yourself, for all the loving kindness toward her throughout her earthly life. We give you thanks, and since it was her time, we thank you that for her all sickness and sorrow are ended, that death itself is past, and we pray that she may enter into the rest reserved for your people. We pray, Almighty God, that we, being inspired by the example of all your saints, may run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, so that when this mortal life is ended, we too may be gathered with those whom we have loved in the kingdom of your glory, where there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, no more pain, for the former things will have passed away. All this we ask in the name of Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.